1 Peter chapter number 4, starting in verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 7. The Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." This morning, Pastor Aylstock is going to be continuing with the series of spiritual gifts of how God has equipped us. And he's going to be talking to us about how God has equipped us through different manifold spiritual gifts to serve and to honor Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking at up to maybe four key passages of Scripture this morning. So have your Bible ready. You'll need to be able to look up these different passages and learn some things from them this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. Bud Wilkinson was one of the great university football coaches back in the late 1940s up into the early 1960s, a very winning coach, an amazing record there at Oklahoma University. And Bud Wilkinson has been known to this day for some of the quotes, some of the things that he said that were deemed to be worthy of notoriety. And one of the things that I heard Bud Wilkinson quoted as saying is that a professional football game is a happening where 50,000 spectators, desperately in need of exercise, sit and watch 22 men, desperately in need of rest. Well, that sounds like a good explanation of a professional football team, a professional football game. But somebody heard him say that, and they said, reminds me of church. A great crowd of spectators desperately in need of an opportunity to serve God, watching a few people desperately in need of people to help them serve God. And that's a good illustration of what is behind the series of messages that Pastor Chris launched last week, a series of messages entitled Equipped to Serve. And it's a look at some passages of Scripture that help us understand that God didn't design church to be like a football game. He designed church to be drastically different than the average football game. And so last week, Pastor Chris introduced the message, focusing our attention on the fact that the church is a body. God uses the phrase body, or the picture of a human body, as an illustration to illustrate how a church functions. The church functions like a body. And every member of the church is a different body part. Eyes, ears, nose, arms, legs, hands, feet. Every church member is a body part. And you put all the members of the church together and you have a functioning body that works to be able to accomplish the will and the work of God. Well, one of the things that is much involved in that analogy of a body is the idea of giftedness. Giftedness. That every body part has a giftedness that enables that part of the body to do things that other parts of the body may not be as well equipped and gifted to be able to do. And so when all of the various parts of the body know what their giftedness is, and then when they work in cooperation with the other body parts who know what their giftedness is, then you have a functioning body that accomplishes the work that God calls his church to do. So this morning, in the morning message this week, we're going to focus on that giftedness. We call them spiritual gifts. The Bible calls them spiritual gifts. And so I want you to know that as a member of Community Baptist Church, you are a gifted person. The message this morning, oftentimes messages on Sunday morning are geared as much to the ones that are non-members as the ones who are members. Here in this room this morning, we have a body. That's the members. We just got two new body parts this morning. This is a body. But then there are others here that aren't a part of this body. And you attend here, and we're glad you do. You come and visit here, and we're glad you do. But the message this morning is focused specifically on the membership of Community Baptist Church. So if you're a member of Community Baptist Church, I want you to know from the Word of God that you are a gifted person. You are amazing. You have got gifts and abilities and talents that are just designed by God himself, because he wanted you to have the ability and giftedness to do things that will bring glory to him and cause his church to advance his kingdom on earth. You are an amazing individual, a gifted individual. And we're gonna learn that from God's word this morning. Now, let me just make a couple of disclaimers about spiritual gifts. And these are things that are sometimes referred to in books written about spiritual gifts or teachers teaching about spiritual gifts that may or may not be true. The Bible doesn't tell us. One of them is that you receive your spiritual gift at salvation. The Bible nowhere tells us that. And I don't necessarily believe that's all that valid. That you get, you're born with talents, but you get spiritual gifts supernaturally given to you at the moment you get saved. Now that there may be some truth to that, but the Bible never teaches that. And I think that detracts from what the Bible does say about spiritual gifts. Here's another thing, that the New Testament lists of spiritual gifts are complete. And so that if you look at those lists of spiritual gifts, you find all the potential spiritual gifts that you may have. And so you can take those four lists or those different places in the Bible and produce a list of possible spiritual gifts. You can look at those, and your gift has to be in that list. Well, I think you will find that your gift, or at least some of your gifts, are on those lists. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that there are not spiritual gifts that are not on those lists. You know, one of the things that I notice is not on any of the lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, but that the Bible talks about throughout the Old and New Testament as an amazing part of the life of the church and an amazing part of the value of the ministry of the church revolves around the theme of music. And as important as music is, it's never mentioned in any of the lists of spiritual gifts. I'm glad that we do have some amazing, gifted members of Community Baptist Church in realms of music that we enjoy the blessing of every week when God works through those giftings that God has given to them. So that's just an example to me that probably the Bible doesn't list all the possible spiritual gifts, but does certainly give us some great lists of gifts to analyze and to think about as we think about God's gifting of our lives. Here's the bottom line up front of the message this morning. It's simply this. We need to recognize God's gifts in our lives and use them for him in his church. And there are four passages of scripture that zero in on that reality. And one of them is 1 Peter chapter number 4. Now, I say there's four. And if you remember the two fours and the two twelves, then you'll usually be able to find the four key passages of the Bible where spiritual gifts are discussed in detail. You have 1 Peter chapter 4. You've got Romans chapter 12. You got Ephesians chapter 4. Then you got 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll notice all of those are listed on your sermon worksheet this morning as 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I don't know that we'll look at all of them, that we'll take time to look at some of these and learn some things about spiritual gifts that are outlined in these great four passages of Scripture. The one I chose to be our key passage is here in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 7 so that you can get the context. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand." The end of all things is at hand. So the context of what is going to follow is that we're living at a point in time where it appears it's all over. We're just about at the end. It's about to be all wrapped up. That's the context that God establishes to be able to say what he's going to say. Here's how to live when you're at a time in your life, in your country, in your culture, and whatever, where it appears to you and the world around you, boy, it's never looked more like the end is right around the corner than it does right now. It looks like the end is upon us. That's the context of this passage. Now, I want you to notice that in this passage of Scripture, God gives us three instructions about how to live when it appears that it's right at the end. You see them at the top of your little worksheet, the three instructions. Verse 7 says, "Be sober and watch unto prayer." Be sober. Sober-minded, alert, watchful, vigilant. And when you're living at a time when it looks like the end could be right around the corner, be alert. Be alert to what God is doing. Be alert to what Satan is doing. Let your alertness work its way into the core of your prayer life. Be sober and watch unto prayer. And then he said, secondly, you need to love people. Verse number 8, he says, "Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." Your love for one another needs to be on fire. Fervent charity. Fervent charity. Love people. Love people with a love that's so fervent and vibrant that it'll cause you to forgive people when they do you wrong. He said, "For charity shall cover a multitude of sins." And a love that will cause you to do things for people. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So a love that's on fire that'll cause you to forgive those who hurt you and do nice things to other people. And then there's a third instruction, and that's our subject for this morning. The third, found in verse number 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." I want you to notice that God says, when it looks like you're right at the end of everything, I want you to do three things. I want you to be alert. I want you to love people. And I want you to serve God through your spiritual gifts. Three great instructions for how to live life when it looks like it's almost all over. Well, let's zero in on this third instruction, the instruction of using our spiritual gifts. What do these spiritual gifts have to do with me individually as a person? Well, I want you to notice some things about them. They're listed 8 statements on your little sermon worksheet, and I want you to notice what we can learn. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "As every man." I want you to notice that every gift has at least one spiritual gift. You say, "Well, I just don't know I can do anything." As every man hath received the gift. Every person in mankind has received at least one spiritual gift, which is God's gifting of your life, shaping you, making you the way he wants you to be for his glory. So everyone has at least one gift. I want you to notice also in verse number 10 that the exercise of our gifts is directed toward people. Verse 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Everyone has at least one spiritual gift, and the exercise of our spiritual gifts are to be directed towards people. Christianity is the people business. God gifted us so we could minister to people, real live living people. That's the focus of our spiritual gifts, to be able to minister to people. I want you to notice something else in verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. As good stewards. The exercise of gifts is a matter of stewardship. You know what stewardship is in the Bible, anywhere in life. Stewardship is an arrangement, a relationship, whereby someone owns stuff that they don't have the ability or time or energy to manage, and so they hire somebody to manage it for them. You are a steward of another person's property. You are managing something that you don't own. That's what stewardship is all about. And the Bible tells us here in this great passage of Scripture that when we exercise our giftedness, we are exercising it as a steward. In other words, it's not your ability. It's God's ability that He shaped into you. So therefore, when you exercise your spiritual giftedness, it's not about you. It's not your ability. It's not your smarts. It's not your intelligence. It's not you, you, you. It's you utilizing God's property that He incorporated into you for His glory. So exercising our spiritual gifts is a matter of responsibility to the God who gifted us. You are gifted people. You are amazing people because God is all over you. And God shaped you and made you the way He wanted you, so that through that giftedness, you could glorify Him by ministering to other people. And when you do that, you are exercising your responsibility to the owner of your giftedness. What else can we learn about spiritual gifts? We learn that the possession of our spiritual gifts is undeserved. Undeserved. Verse 10 says that we exercise these spiritual gifts as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whenever you see something in the Bible that you have because of God's grace, you know that what you have, you don't deserve to have. If you deserve to have it, you wouldn't have it by grace. If you had it because you deserve it, you didn't need grace. If you have it, but you didn't deserve it, but God gave it to you anyway, He gave it to you by His grace. Unmerited favor. So when the Bible tells us here that we exercise gifts as stewards of the manifold grace of God, what we're acknowledging is that any ability I have, any giftedness I have, anything that God has incorporated into who I am to make me who I am, I didn't deserve to be able to do this. I didn't deserve to be able to sound like this. I didn't deserve to be smart enough to plan this. I didn't deserve to have the ability to accomplish this. It's all by the grace of God. Manifold grace of God. The grace of God that is manifested in manifold areas of your life. So that all through your life, things that you don't deserve to be able to do, God incorporated into you by His grace. And now you take God's property and you use it to serve people. And when you do that, God is glorified because you've used His grace to bless people that He wanted you to bless. Well, that's where the verse goes on. In verse number 11, speaks of this, these exercises of grace depends upon God. Verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth. Now notice number five. I've jumped ahead of myself to number six. Let me back up. Number five, gifts fall into two major categories. He says, if you speak, speak as of the oracles of God. If you minister, minister as of the ability that God giveth. There are two major categories of gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. Now, tonight, Pastor Chris is going to speak on the subject of the speaking gifts. And next Sunday night, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of the serving gifts. As we look at specific giftedness that God incorporates into us, whereby we either use our mouth or we use our energy and activities, serving, to be able to accomplish these gifts. So the gifts fall into two major categories. Number six, each of these gifts depends upon God. I can't do this on my own. If I speak, speak as of the oracles of God. If I minister, do it with the ability God giveth. No matter what my gift, whether a speaking gift or a serving gift, I need God. I can't do this. You say, I just don't think I can do anything. You're a prime target for an opportunity to minister. Because as soon as you don't think you can, you're at the perfect place for God to say, yeah, but I can. If you'll yield yourself to me, I can do it through you. Because it's my ability incorporated into your giftedness that I want you to use as a steward of my possessions to serve the people that I direct you to. And it'll be my ability that is on display when you exercise your giftedness. And number 7, verse 11, goes on to say that God in all things may be glorified. You know, the exercise of gifts glorifies God. That's what it's all about. It's not about glorifying me. Lori Ann Razafinjatovo sang a beautiful song about Jesus Christ in her life forever. She didn't do that so you'll come up to her afterwards and say, wow, you're a great singer, Lori Ann. You know, Lori Ann couldn't have sung that without God. He gave her vocal cords. He gave her love for music. He gave her the ability. He said, Lori Ann, I want to bless all these people here, so I want you to use my gift that I put in you. I want you to be a steward of my possession, and I want you to exercise that gift to the people that I gather together who are going to hear that song so that I, God, will be glorified. God is with me forevermore. It's not, wow, what a great singer. It's, wow, what a great God. It's all about God receiving glory when people use God's ability as stewards to serve people. And then number 8, the key to it all is Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says that God may be, and all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. It all focuses and comes to Jesus Christ, who is the one who is behind our exercising of gifts to the glory of God. A number of years ago, I was at a conference, a pastor's conference. And at that particular pastor's conference, there were a number of preachers who preached in the conference. And there were a number of people who sang before the preachers preached. One of the groups that sang was a group of young ladies that did a phenomenal job singing two beautiful songs about Jesus Christ. They sang their two songs right before two different preachers preached. And as they sang their song, my heart was filled with joy for what Jesus Christ had done for me. They had directed my attention to God and what God had done for me, and God was glorified in God as they sang about God. The preacher got up, and the preacher, first words out of his mouth was, wow, can those girls sing? and stripped all of the glory away from God and deposited all the glory on the girls who sang. And my heart went flat. The service went on. The girls sang another song, beautiful song about God, and another preacher got up. And as my heart was filled with adoration to what God had done in my life, the first words out of the preacher's mouth was, "Boy, it's hard to get up and follow and act like that." And again, God was stripped of all of his glory. And it was all deposited upon the singers who sang. And I thought in my heart, what are we teaching people? What are we conveying to people about the glory of God and the service of man when we take all the glory away from God and give it to the servants who are just stewards of God's abilities to surrender themselves to be used of God to reflect glory unto our God? Worthy of serious thought about whether we really believe that we're just stewards. And our job is to say, wow, what an amazing God that we serve. Spiritual gifts are all about you orchestrating your life in such a way that what God incorporated into you becomes the avenue through which you minister to people, that brings about an end result that God is glorified by what he does in those people's life because you are willing to be a steward. Now that really puts spiritual gifts on another plane of importance, does it not? And I say again to those of you who are members of Community Baptist Church, you are amazing people. You are gifted people. But it's not because of you. It's because of the God who built you into the person you are, who shaped you to be who you are, who gave you abilities that he wants for that membership to plug into each other and to be able to bring glory to God through that church body in that location to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, let me get you to turn back. We've got just a few more minutes. Let me get you to turn back to Romans chapter 12, and let me show you a couple of things from Romans chapter 12, another of the four key passages about spiritual gifts. The context of this is really the entire of chapters 1 through 11, which has built a case for salvation by grace. And chapter 12 begins by saying, since you've gotten saved, here's the way I want you to live as a Christian. And he enters into the realm of discussing gifts. You see in verse number 6, verse 6 says, having then gifts. You see, gifts are the subject of how to live for Jesus Christ, having been saved. Now, what do we learn? Number one, we learn from verse number 3, as I say, through the grace of God given unto me, to every man that is among you, everyone has at least one gift. Number two, the possession of gifts does not generate pride. Verse 3 says, verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. The purpose of spiritual gifts is not to generate pride, to say, wow, I can do this really good. Wow, did you see how good I did there? Did you see what I accomplished? Did you see how good I am? I missed the whole purpose of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is not to build pride in myself, but rather to build glory in the God who owns the giftedness. And then if you come down to verse number 4 and 5, the exercise of spiritual gifts pertains to the body. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, then he begins to list gifts. Number 3, the exercise of our gifts pertains to the body of Christ. again, the illustration of how Community Baptist Church functions. How does Community Baptist Church function? If you're a member of Community Baptist Church, your membership is for the purpose of you serving God, utilizing your spiritual gifts. That's the purpose of your membership. You're a member so that you can serve. You're a member so that you can have the opportunity through this body of believers. A body, you take a body and you just take a couple of hands and a couple of feet and a couple of legs and all scattered all over the place. That's not a body. They've got to be incorporated together and become members of the same body to function as a body. And your purpose as a member is so that you can be integrated into the lives of everyone else who's a member, and that all of us together can function as a living body to accomplish things that will bring glory to God. And then number four, we notice again that the possession of gifts is undeserved, because verse 6 tells us that having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something from Ephesians chapter 4. Another of the four key passages. This passage contains a verse like no other verse that I found in the New Testament about the functioning of the church membership utilizing spiritual giftedness. This context is similar to Romans. In Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, there has been a discussion of how to get saved by grace. Chapter 4 begins the practical life of a person who has been saved by grace. And so chapter 4 enters into the subject of giftedness. In verse number 7, the Bible says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every Christian has at least one gift given to us by Christ. Verse number 7 also tells us that we don't deserve these gifts. They come by grace. Verse 7 tells us, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then in verse number 8, we're told that it was the ascended Lord who gave gifts. When he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. That's when Jesus Christ went back to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to begin to work through the giftedness that he had incorporated into their lives throughout their lives. And now the ascended Lord sends the Spirit of God to manifest himself through their giftedness. That's why I say spiritual gifts, I don't want to think of spiritual gifts as something I got when I got saved. I got saved and bow, I got spiritual gifts. You know what I got when I got saved? I got the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. And now for the first time, the Holy Spirit works through my giftedness and it becomes a spiritual giftedness instead of just a giftedness. God incorporates giftedness into people whether they're saved or lost. There are people with great giftedness in our world, in music. There are people with great giftedness in organization. There are people with great giftedness in showing mercy. There are people with great giftedness in teaching or proclaiming authoritatively a truth. Can you think of Hitler? There are people in this world who had great giftedness. Had the Holy Spirit ever come to live inside of them, those abilities would have become spiritual giftedness. The difference is not the gift that God incorporates into people's personality and characteristics and lives as he births them, as he creates their life, as he builds their life through experiences. The difference is the Holy Spirit that is manifesting himself through that giftedness, and it becomes a spiritual giftedness. The ascended Lord sent the Holy Spirit to make that happen. And so the spiritual, the gifts, the Spirit of God came to work through us. And he goes on to talk about how this works itself out. I want to skip down to one verse. Look at verse number 16. He's talking about the body. He's talking about how the members of the body work together. And look at verse 16. Powerful statement. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Notice that. The whole body is fitly joined together. This isn't scattered body parts. People who aren't attached. People who have not made a commitment of membership. People who are not a part of that body. No, they are fitly joined together. this morning, two new body parts stopped being just random body parts in the building, and they were fitly joined into the life of Community Baptist Church. And now they're fitly joined together as members of Community Baptist Church to be able to serve God. Notice verse number 16 says that by that which every joint supplies. He's talking about the work of the church from verse number 12, 13, 14, 15. The church is working. Maturity is happening. The church is growing. It's becoming stronger. And then he makes this statement in verse number 16 that all this happens by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. I want you to notice the phrase every part, and I want you to notice the word joint. Every part and joint. Let me illustrate it this way. I've got a bone here. I don't know, I'm not a biologist. I don't know what the name of the bone is, but it goes from my elbow to my wrist. There's a bone there, maybe a couple of them, I don't know. There's a bone there. Then I got another bone. It goes from my elbow up to my shoulder. I'm pretty sure there's only one there. And so those are two individual parts of my body. Now, notice that the church grows as a result of every part. Not 90% of the parts, not 85% of the parts, but every part, every member. But notice it's not that bone that does the work. And it's not that bone that does the work. It's the joint that does the work. By that which every joint supplieth. You know what a joint is? A joint is a location on your body where two different parts intersect, and together they can work and they can accomplish a lot of work together. Do you understand what God is saying? The church thrives when church members link up with other church members, when church members become incorporated into the lives of other church members, and when those church members, someone says, hey, Lord's really been burning my heart to go out and to be involved in Gospel Blitz. Would you go with me? And now there's a joint working together. And that joint working together accomplishes more than the individual member. Someone says, you know, I've been burdened for the children's ministry. I'd kind of like to get involved in the children's ministry. Could you do that with me? And two people get together. And all of a sudden, you got a joint. You got two people committed to each other to work together for the sake of the work of the ministry. And you know, the church prospers and grows when every member works with other members so that that which every joint supplieth results in the building and productivity of God's church. That's God's vision of a church membership. That's God's vision of a healthy church. That's God's vision of a church accomplishing God's will in a particular geographic area to His honor and to His glory. And you know what happens? Verse 16 ends by saying, making increase of the body. People working together result in an increase in the body. The body grows. And notice what else? It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When you have two members working together, they're not going to talk about each other. When you have members working together to accomplish something together, they're not going to beat on one another's brow. You've got a church growing to the edifying of itself in love. God's vision of a healthy, growing church. What does it require? It requires a membership. People that stop attending and join and say, I want to be a member. Why do they become a member? They become a member to be able to work. They become a member to get plugged in and build a relationship with that body, to become a part of that body, so that that body can accomplish more for the glory of God and Jesus Christ can be honored and glorified by that which every member, 100%, 100%, every member plugged in with other people working to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's God's vision of a spiritually gifted membership. Let me skip everything else. Let me just cut to a final illustration. A cat, a mom, and a ruined dessert. And that's what your little handouts was supposed to say before Jonathan's fancy font got messed up because I didn't flatten it. That's supposed to say mom, a cat, and a ruined dessert at the very bottom of the back page of your handout this morning. And what's that all about? I ran across this illustration years ago, and I thought, boy, if that doesn't capture the reality of differences in a church family, you're not me, and I'm not you, and you're not one another. You're the only you we got. And God built something into you that nobody else can supply. And when every member is linked up and working, the church increases and edifies itself in love to the glory of God. And everyone's different. We need people who are very different to be able to accomplish what God wants us to do. Imagine you're sitting around the table. It's been a great meal. You have eaten the turkey and the ham, and you've enjoyed it, and the meal's been awesome. And mom says, just a minute, I got something. She gets up, and she walks into the kitchen. She comes walking out of the kitchen. She's carrying this big platter because it's a big family, big Thanksgiving, whatever. She's got this big, big cake on this big platter, and she's carrying it with both hands, and she's walking in from the kitchen, and she's bringing it to serve dessert. And as she approaches the table, she trips over the cat, falls flat on her face, the cake breaks apart and slides across the floor, and the dessert is totally ruined. Now, I want you to think about how you would react if you were sitting at the table at that moment. Someone may jump up, and someone may say, and if they did, it would be indicative that God probably gifted them to be a preacher. They jumped up and they said, the Bible says, thou shalt not let the cat in the house at dinner time. Now you've fallen into sin and ruined everything. Another member of the family, probably someone that God gifted to be a good teacher. She got down on her knees beside mom and says, mom, if you just hold the plate over to the side while you're walking, you'll be able to see where the cat is, and you can make it from the kitchen to the table, and there won't be any problems. You can, and probably a person that has some teaching ability. Somebody else, maybe with the spiritual gift of serving, grabs the napkin off the table from beside their plate and jumps down onto the floor and begins to try to clean up the mess and serve the family by cleaning up the mess. Somebody else, some other family member gets down beside mom and says, mom, you can do this thing. You can do this, mom. Let's try it again. And they probably are someone that has the gift of encouragement. And they say, mom, I think you can do it. Let's try it again, mom. You can do this thing. Somebody else, they jumped up and they just headed for the door. Before you knew it, they were down at the corner store buying some more cake and ice cream. Because God gave them the gift of giving. And their part is to go buy the replacement. Another member of the family looked around and said, Mary, you get the mop. John, you help mom. Steve, get the cat outside. And you realize God probably gave them the gift of administration, the gift of organization. Another family member falls on the floor beside mom, who's weeping by this time, holds mom in her arms and says, mom, you poor thing, I know that must have felt so embarrassing and terrible. That person probably had the gift of mercy. It was all over and the dessert was all cleaned up and everything was done. Somebody says, you know, I told you guys before dinner ever started, a cat is evil and shouldn't be allowed in the house. And if we had put the cat outside the house before the dinner ever started, none of this would have ever happened. I told you to put the cat out. And all of a sudden you realize somebody has the gift of discernment. What are your spiritual gifts? Why did God make you a member? The Bible says in the passage we didn't get to, 1 Corinthians 12, that God places into the body every member as it pleases him. God puts you in Community Baptist Church as a member. Why? Why are you here? Why did God make you a member of this church? What is your giftedness? How did God shape you and gift your life purposefully with his abilities so that he could use you to serve people through Community Baptist Church that will cause God to redound in glory for what he's done in the lives of people? Why did God bring you here? Are you doing what God brought you here to do? Are you being a good steward of God's giftedness that he incorporated into you for such an hour as this? Is God receiving the glory through the lives of people impacted by your life? Because you have served God through Community Baptist and directed people to God. And God has been glorified through your stewardship of his talents that he incorporated into your life. That's the big question. When I look at spiritual gifts in 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, and I begin to analyze God's plan for the operation of every gifted church that he owns. And I look at the word of God and what he says, and I ask myself, why did God put me here? Why am I here? That's going to be changing here in 6 months. As far as who I am, my role. And then I begin to ask God and have been asking God. Did again last night, God, what do you want me for? What do you want out of my life? What is your purpose for me being here? Come 6 months and into the future. What's your plan, God? Do you ask God that about yourself? Father in heaven, I'm so grateful for the powerful teaching of your word about spiritual giftedness. Teaching that can change the world, one person at a time, as we, your children, surrender to the stewardship of your giftedness that you've incorporated in us. And God, I pray that the Spirit of God will manifest himself through us in multiple ways that will impact people that live all around the South Riding area and cause people to know there is a gifted church of people who care. Community really does care. And God, may people realize how much you care about them because of how you have used our giftedness through the power of the Spirit of God manifesting himself through our lives.